Well, I would appreciate your prayers this morning, the Lord to bless His Word and our time together considering it this morning. I'd like to share with you something the Lord has inspired to me as a song spoke about, waiting on the Lord. I'd like to begin by reading to you a quote of a man whose name you'll probably recognize, George Mueller. He said, "The Lord's time is the best time. We must not be in a hurry. If we are, we shall do more harm than good." I'd like to relate to you, this was not just empty philosophical words for this man. I'd like to recall to you, as you may have already heard these instances, but two stories from his life and ministry and the orphanage that he worked with. There was a day that the 300 children for whom he cared in the orphanage had no food left. They were out of milk, they were out of bread, there was nothing for them for that next meal. Try explaining that to 300 hungry children. Whenever time for the next meal came, he gathered them into the room and he said, "All right, children, let's pray and thank the Lord for the food." "Well, what food?" "I don't see any food." Neither did George Mueller. But he said, "We're going to thank the Lord for the food that he's going to provide." And as those 300 children bowed their heads and offered a prayer of thanksgiving, there was a knock on the door. And the baker said, "I felt like the Lord's been talking to me all through the night that I needed to bake bread for you and the children." And about that time, the milkman that was coming by, his cart broke down right in front of the orphanage. And he said, "Well, you know what, by the time I can get this repaired, this milk's going to spoil. Could you all use this milk?" Folks, we serve a real God. We serve a prayer hearing and answering God. "We must not be in a hurry," he said. "If we are, we shall do more harm than good." There was another instance when he said, he recorded so much in his journals. He said the time came that they had some bills that had come due. Bills, I believe, for the coal and for groceries that was due that very day. And he had made it a practice that he didn't go asking people for money, but wanted to put his trust in the Lord to provide. Well, that day wore on and still no money to be able to provide to pay for these bills. It said that he wrote in his journal that day, "The Lord will send help in His own time. I will not borrow one penny." Now, I don't know that it was to say that borrowing a penny, there's something wrong with. But Lord, I've got a need here. And I'm going to put my trust in You to supply this need. And as the evening wore on, and again the knock at the door, and the collector had come for the money, he said at the same time that man was standing there, a letter came and was delivered to the door. And as he opened the envelope and he looked, and it was just the amount of money that he needed to hand this man for the bills. You know, I would be more comfortable saying, "Lord, thank you, but next time would you mind sending it a few days in advance? Just so that I can know." There's been a lot of stress. Well, I don't know if he was stressed or not. It seemed like he had it pretty well settled that the Lord will come through in time. Lord, help us to wait. to know what it is to wait upon the Lord. Psalms, the 27th chapter. The Lord is the light, my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And then as we skip to the 13th verse, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Have you ever been in a situation when it looked like things were so dire, where the need was so immediate, where the answer was so desperately needed that you began to faint? Maybe not physically, but your faith began to falter. Lord, are you as the story was with Lazarus? They sent for Jesus and said, Lazarus is sick. The very clear implication was, Jesus, you need to be here. Hurry. But Jesus didn't hurry. He waited until not too late. He waited until the time was exactly right. And he went, but to them it looked like it was too late. I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Folks, we're going to see the goodness of God one day. And we'll see face to face. And we'll know clearly and perfectly in that day. I'll understand all the whys. I believe my questions will all be answered. And I don't think it's going to take an eternity of, Lord, I've got to interview you. I think in a moment of glory, it'll all become abundantly clear. But I want to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Lord, I want to see your hand at work right now. Because I don't believe that the days, yes, Brother George Mueller is no more on this earth. But his God is. That same God is still on his throne today and still hearing and answering prayers. Lord, I want to see the goodness of the Lord in my life right now. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And the psalmist repeated it here, I suppose, for emphasis. Here's the important thing to get a hold of. Wait, I say. Wait on the Lord. The Lord will strengthen your heart. When you feel like you're about to faint, wait on the Lord. George Mueller also said, the longer the waiting, the sweeter the answer. Believe the psalmist also said in one place, Lord, how long? Lord, how long will you allow these things to go on? I can remember praying that same thing to the Lord. The battle had worn on for a long time. I think specifically when Katrina's mom was so sick for a number of months, and the months had dragged into well over a year. Lord, how long? As we pray and seek you, wait, I say, on the Lord. That's still the answer. Wait on the Lord. When it looks like the Lord is too late, wait on the Lord. When it feels like the Lord isn't hearing, wait on the Lord. Judges, the 7th chapter. You know, the ways of the Lord sometimes are a mystery to us. Lord, why are you working that way? Sometimes in direct contradiction, it seems like, to the very thing for which I prayed. Let's read what happened here to Israel. Judges 7. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. Lest you come out of this battle, and you're all high-fiving. I don't know if they did that then. But you're all high-fiving and celebrating. Look how we turned them. Boy, we sure did something, didn't we? Lest Israel vaunt themselves. Lest there be any confusion about who it is that's really giving the victory here. Gideon, you've got too many people. Send them back home. And you can read through this chapter of the ways in which, if you're fearful, go on home. And many people turned back. And then they went to the water brook, and a certain way that they were to drink, or those that didn't, they were sent back as well. Until there were just a handful of men left. And the Midianites, it seemed to them, were like grasshopper on the hills for numbers. Numbers they couldn't number. Lord, what are you doing? 32,000 men isn't enough here. If we expected anything, it would be, if you're God, send us another 400,000 men here. That's what we need. Lord, send your chariots of fire to surround us. And instead, the Lord says, you have too many people. Send them home. Folks, God's ways are above our ways. God's timing, even when it doesn't feel like it, God's timing is right. I say this saying, Lord, help me. Because the Lord has had and is teaching me to wait. People want to see miracles today, don't we? Lord, I feel like, and it seems like, Lord, we need to see some miracles today. I believe that faith is under attack. I believe that the enemy has his crosshairs on the faith of God's children today. And there's much that could be said about that. Jesus posed the question, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? Faith is one of the things that the enemy is going to try to undermine. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We're built upon faith in the Lord. And if the enemy can target that and begin to chip away and begin to cause to crack and crumble our faith in God. I'm not talking about just a notional idea of, yes, I believe God is real. But in my life, to be persuaded that God is real, that God is in control, that's under attack. As manifested and lived out, again, more than just an idea, but to live it out in my life, to put it into practice whenever I am in distress and I am in trouble and I am in need. Whenever sickness and affliction hits me, what does faith mean at a time like that? Whenever I need circumstances worked out on the job or in life, wherever it is, what does it mean for me to wait upon the Lord? What does it mean for me to have faith in God? Does it mean I sit there fearful? Distressed, my mind all in a turmoil, my spirit so disturbed. Lord, teach me how to wait. People want to see miracles, but this is what I want us to really consider. Do we know what miracles are made of? We want to see miracles. But do we really understand the prerequisite of a miracle? Do I really know the stuff that miracles are made of? Well, Lord, I want to see a miracle, but I want to see it packaged in this way, and I want to see it delivered in time. But if you look back at the uncomfortable situation, to put it lightly, that George Mueller, as just an example, was put in. Lord, I don't want to get that far. I don't know how I would have acted in his situation. Children, gather around. Let's thank the Lord. You know, a testimony is first preceded by a test. The Lord knows how to turn our tests into testimonies. But many times He has to bring things down into a place where it is so low, like it was before Gideon and the Israelites. He brought it to a place where they felt so desperate. Lord, I'm desperate for You. What is this? We need something so desperately here. And then the Lord was able to work, and the Lord was able to move. If we want to see miracles, are we willing to go through what the Lord has to bring us through before the miracle can be seen as a miracle? Amen. James, the fifth chapter. Say, well, you do the waiting, and I'll enjoy the miracles. The folks that comes hand in hand. I don't believe for a moment that the day of miracles is past. But I do believe that faith is under attack. And I do read that we can limit God's ability, the extent to which He can work, by a lack of unbelief, a lack of faith in God. James, the fifth chapter, in the seventh verse. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. We're going to have patience. And we're going to have faith to be able to please the Lord. The husbandman understands the process. Understands that the circumstances that have to materialize and go into it, there's nothing I can do. I can't make it rain right now. I can't make that seed grow. But what I can do is do my part. And I can cultivate the soil. I can plant the seed. And then I can wait for it. And it does no good to go, well, I planted that thing a week ago. And I still don't have any corn. I still don't see the fruit of what I planted. And go and try to dig it back up and stretch it. It doesn't work, does it? I've got to wait for the process to be completed and perfected. Be also then patient. Establish your hearts. Our hearts that can become so fearful and troubled of the uncertainty of what's going to happen. And you know, we live in a time today where there is so much readily available at our fingertips. We live in an information age. We live in a time where we feel like we know so much. And we have so much information readily available to us. If I need to know something, understand something, figure something out. If there's something I can't afford, there's some solution for that so that I can buy it anyway. What is it that we have to wait on the Lord for anymore? What is it that we really have to say, Lord, I don't have food on the table tonight. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know how we're going to get through this day. Folks, we live in a blessed time. In a blessed age. But the blessing of this time, if we're not careful, can also become a curse to us. When I can become so self-sufficient, where I don't really have to wait on anything. You see how our world is geared towards, why wait? Why should you have to say no? Why should you wait? There's some option for you to be able to shortcut it, get it now, buy it on layaway, on credit. Why wait? Do you know the Lord still wants a people that when He touches their life are willing to say, Lord, I am willing to wait. Establish your hearts. We're going to have it settled really before the storm hits. Lord, I want to trust in You. Lord, I want to see Your glory. I want to see You work in my life. I can think that now, and without the grace of God, get into a situation and I go to pieces. You know, likewise, if I don't establish my heart now, Lord, this is my desire by Your grace. Lord, I want to wait to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I want to wait upon You. I want to wait for You to work in my life. I want to teach my heart to believe, one song says, I want to teach my heart to wait and to be still. I want to teach, just like we have to teach our children sometimes, just wait. Wait for a little bit. You're going to be okay. Learn to be still for a moment. Learn to wait for a little bit. The Lord has to teach me the same things. Clint, calm down. It's not out of control. Out of Yours, but not mine. Be still. Calm down. And wait upon the Lord. We're going to have to establish our hearts. Fix it in our hearts. Where am I going to turn whenever I need help? The song says, where could I go but to the Lord? Folks, turning to the Lord should not be a last resort. It should be the first thing that I do is turn to the Lord and wait upon the Lord in my situations. We can read about faith. We can read the stories of miracles of days gone by. But Lord, I want to see Your goodness in my life. I want to see the miracles. Am I willing for the Lord to produce in my life the prerequisites for a miracle? Are you a good waiter? I'm not talking about waiting tables. Are you a good waiter? Is there a good way to wait? Is there a bad way to wait? What kind of waiter are you? 1 Samuel, the 10th chapter. First Samuel chapter 10 and the 8th verse. Samuel was given instructions here to Saul, who was king. He said, and thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do. You know, the Lord, so many times, as part of His plan, requires a waiting period. I'll just tell you, I don't enjoy waiting. I don't like waiting on a traffic light. I'd rather not even wait for the 90 seconds in the microwave if I didn't have to. If I had my choosing, I don't guess I'd wait for anything. And the Lord also knows it would be to my detriment and my destruction. Samuel told Saul here, you're going to wait 7 days. Now, you know, there are many times that the Lord doesn't tell me how long I have to wait for this answer. It's just The answer hasn't come yet. What am I going to do? I'm going to wait on the Lord. The answer still hasn't come. What am I going to do? I'm going to wait on the Lord. But he told him, 7 days here, I want you to wait. Wait on me, and I'm going to come after 7 days. Well, let's fast forward just a little bit in time to the 13th chapter of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 13 and the 8th verse. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. You know, the Lord tries our faith sometimes. It wasn't much of a trial of his faith on day 3. Well, I don't see Samuel. Where is he? Oh, he told me 7 days. But as that 7th day arrived, and I don't know what time of day this was, that Saul said, you know what? I have waited now 7 days. I've done my part. I've waited 7 days as I was told. Where's Samuel? Where is he? He's not here. Again, when the question comes up, the answer hasn't come yet. The Lord hasn't moved on the scene yet. The question is, well, what am I going to do then? We have options, don't we? Sometimes. It's one thing to wait on the Lord whenever there's nothing else I can do. I have exhausted all options and there is nothing else I can do. And then there's still something about how I wait that we'll get to in a moment. It's one thing to wait then when I have no choice. But I believe the Lord wants to teach us to wait even when, or especially when, I have options. Whenever there are things that I could do myself, and yet I still settle it in my heart, Lord, I'm going to wait on you. Saul could have done that. I don't see Samuel yet, but the last instruction I got was to wait for Samuel. I'm not moving off of that. I'm going to wait on him. You know what? If we're pointing fingers like Saul got into, if the 7 days goes by and he's not here, that's on him. But as for me, I'm going to do my part and wait. So, on that 7th day, Samuel came not, and the people were scattered from him. It had gotten to the point that Saul as king could look out and the people, they're tired of waiting. What are you doing, king? We've been sitting here for 7 days and we're not doing it. We're ready to go to battle. We're ready to go home. Something besides sitting here. And the people began to scatter. And Saul began to feel the urgency of the moment, saying, I've got to do something. I am the king after all. I've got to move. Time's up. Samuel, you've had enough time. I've got to step in now and act. You ever feel that way? I have. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. I know what to do. I've seen Samuel do it. I can do this too. I don't need to wait for Samuel. Bring the offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Samuel went out to meet him that he might salute him. Now, we can read, I don't want to belabor it too much, but in the 12th verse, Samuel began feeling the need to start doing some justifying, explaining, excusing. Well, Samuel, I didn't see you, and so I forced myself, therefore, to go ahead and... I didn't want to do it. I still wanted to... My heart was still to do what you instructed, but I had an obligation, and I had to force myself. Now, you'll understand, Samuel. Samuel did understand. I don't believe Samuel was late. I believe Samuel was right on time. And I believe the Lord was putting Saul to the test. Saul, I don't just want to know if you're willing to act. I know you're willing to act. But I need to know if you're willing to wait. I can remember a time for us that there was something that we felt like a major decision that had to be made in our lives. And we had been talking about it. We had been praying about it. We had been getting counsel about it. And there was a deadline of a specific situation pertaining to that, that on such and such date, I had to provide my decision of what we were going to do. And I'll just tell you, I have been fasting and praying and seeking the Lord and earnestly seeking the Lord. I felt like, Lord, this is the way that you want me to go. I feel it. I believe this is it. But Lord, I recognize, Lord, I have to have confirmation from you. I have to know that you're in this before I make this major step. I don't want to go off of my own charge here. That day came, fasting, seeking the Lord, had gone out in my car and just pouring out my heart to the Lord. Lord, I've got 30 minutes here. Lord, I know you could send an angel. I know you could just speak to me audibly. You know how sometimes, if you're like me, all right, Lord, I'm going to open my Bible. There it is. That's not it. Try again. Lord, where's the answer? I need it. And the only thing I could get from the Lord was, Clint, I want to know that I can depend on you to wait as much as I can depend on you to go. That was it. And I had to come back with, we can't go. You know, it's hard to wait. Sometimes we feel the urgency. I've got to do something here. Lord, I've waited long enough now. I've given you an opportunity. Sometimes the Lord tests our faith. And the answer is right on the other side of it. Oh, Saul, if you would have waited 30 more minutes. Samuel was right around the bend. He was almost here. You know, if we're not careful and if we don't establish our hearts to wait on the Lord, we can be like Saul so easily. I know I can. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord's shown me areas of my life that I felt like, okay, I've waited and I'm going to wait and I'm going to be patient in this situation. Okay, that's enough. I've waited long enough. This thing has to be dealt with. I've got to step in here. I've got to make something happen here. And I've seen where I've caused damage by doing that. To my shame, I've seen that at least a couple times in my life. That's why I say, Lord, help me to learn to wait. Lord, help me to know what it looks like in my circumstance. Well, Lord, that's all fine and good. Trust the Lord. Wait on the Lord. But Lord, my problem, as if my problem is the most urgent one that's ever come before the throne. And the Lord who inhabits eternity says your strength is to sit still. Be still. And see the salvation of the Lord. Calm down. I can remember even as a child, me and some of my cousins had gone over to Aunt Irma's house. We were flying kites, and as you've ever seen this, if you don't fly them just right, they can get into the worst kind of a tangle. And sure enough, our kite got into a tangle and worked with it and worked and tried to get the thing undone. And it seemed like the more I worked with it, the worse it got. And so I took it, Aunt Irma, can you help me? Can you fix this for me? And so she started very patiently, very painstakingly working with each little knot. And she was almost done, I realize now, as I was watching. And finally it got simple enough for me that I said, oh, I know how to do it. And I said, here, let me. And I got the thing tangled right back up again. You know, if we're not careful, I can come and say, Lord, I need help with this. Lord, I need you to work this problem out. And as I'm waiting and waiting, and then I say, okay, I know how to do it now. And I can jump in and I can make a mess of things. Lord, help me to wait upon the Lord. You remember Abram and Sarai received the promise that through your lineage, through your seed, well, how's that going to be? We don't have any seed. We can't have. I believe that promise came around 75 years old. Do you think they maybe expected over the coming weeks and months? Okay, well, it seems doubtful, but let's see what the Lord does here. Nothing. No change. 5 years go by. No change. 10 years go by. Now he's 85 years old. Lord, did I hear you wrong? Did I misunderstand? If this is going to be the case, that through my lineage, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed, evidently that's not happening. Do you remember what they did? About, if my timeline is right, about 10 years after the promise, Abram said, bring Hagar. And took it into his own hands. Sarah said that and suggested or proposed that. They followed through with that, and it has caused generations of strife. You know, we can short circuit the Lord's plan for our life by not being willing to wait on the Lord. I'd like to read something to you. Coming back to the question, are you a good waiter? How do you wait? We as a congregation, I know, have been praying much over the last year, year and a half for Vanessa. And I'd like to read something that she wrote a little while back. It really struck me. We've all said it before, sometimes with confidence, sometimes with trembling lips. I'm just going to wait on God. It's easy to say those words, to remind ourselves that His timing is perfect, to post the verse about eagle's wings and strength renewed, to tell others I'm trusting Him with the future. But here's the thing I've been learning. Waiting isn't just the quiet, still space between now and what's next. It's not an empty hallway we stand in until the door swings open. Waiting is active. And if we're not careful, we can spend our whole waiting season staring at the clock instead of seeking the one we're waiting for. Because when the night feels endless, when you're aching for light to break through, it's not enough to simply say you'll wait for morning. The question is, what are you doing in the night? Are you praying, worshiping, serving, growing? Are you sitting, or are you sitting in the shadows, arms crossed, heart closed, just wishing for it to all be over? I've been in those dark seasons. The ones where answers feel a million miles away. Where the thing you long for seems so good, so right, and yet God's voice keeps whispering, not yet. And I've learned that the posture of my heart in the waiting shapes who I am when the answer finally comes. If I spend my waiting complaining, I will arrive bitter. If I spend my waiting comparing, I will arrive discontent. If I spend my waiting doubting, I will arrive fearful. But if I spend my waiting seeking Him, I will arrive closer to His heart. If I spend my waiting serving, I will arrive with joy. If I spend my waiting worshiping, I will arrive stronger in faith. Don't wait for God's promises the same way we wait for a bus to show up. We wait with God, walking beside Him in the here and now. Maybe that's the secret. Maybe the most beautiful parts of His plan aren't only found at the end of the waiting, but in what He's doing in us during it. So yes, wait for the promise. Wait for the light to come. But while you wait, let your hands stay busy in love. Let your mouth speak words of truth. Let your heart remain soft and surrendered. Because when the light finally breaks through, you'll realize He was shaping you in the dark all along. And you'll be glad you didn't waste the wait. So how do we wait? Are we good waiters? Do we wait with patience? Do we wait with joy? Do I yield myself into the Lord's hands while I wait? I've mentioned a couple times that faith is under attack. Folks, divine healing is as clearly a Bible doctrine today as it's ever been. Is my faith as strong as it's ever been? The doctrine is there. The precedent is clearly established. The instructions are given of what to do if any are sick. But when it becomes me, when it's my body hurting, Lord, what does it mean? I'm going to tell you what I believe is a key component of trusting in the Lord. The question is not whether God can heal. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The question isn't on His part. But what about me? Am I willing to wait upon the Lord? What I mentioned a moment ago about our day and time, the answers are so readily available. Many times, not all the time. But so often, it looks like whenever I have the opportunity to wait, that it's utter foolishness to do so. Because I don't have to. I don't need to. Because I have options. And I believe the Lord wants to challenge and stir His people. That we be a people who establish our hearts. Lord, I am Yours. And for the miracles to come, the Lord can work in however He wants to work. But so often, the Lord tests our faith before He rewards our faith. Well, how quickly will He do that? Lord, I'll wait an hour. Lord, I'll wait a day. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and never faint. Amen. The Lord is able to strengthen us in our waiting. But a key component of this doctrine of the Bible of divine healing has to do with our faith, with our consecration, and with our willingness to wait upon the Lord. There's a promise in Habakkuk, the second chapter in the third verse, in which it said of the prophecy and the promise that had been given that though it tarry, wait for it, because it will come. Folks, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. At the end of time, and in our seasons of life, when I say, Lord, I so desperately need You to come, to move on my scene right now. Lord, I need You. Lord, where are You? I don't feel You. I don't see You. As Job said, I look on the right, on the left, before me, behind me, and I can't find You anywhere. What am I going to do then in that moment? Wait for it. In the end, it'll come. Many times in those waiting times, They say that the darkest hour is right before dawn. Folks, hold on. Wait upon the Lord. Don't despair. Don't give up. When it feels like the Lord is so far away, know that the Lord is right there all along. But like He did with the Midianites, so many times He wants to test our faith. He'll bring it to a point. Remember what George Mueller said, the longer the wait, the sweeter the answer. Sometimes the more difficult the situation appears, the more impossible it seems, the brighter can shine the light of how God worked and of the miracle that He's performed. He is still a miracle performing God. Lord, help us to still be a people whose hearts are fixed, trusting in the Lord, waiting upon Him for the answer to come. You pray for me because I am a student along with you in this same class. Lord, help us to know how to wait upon the Lord. Amen.